people groups of the world in where he's based. He's got over 400 children that are in his orphanages and schools. And what they do is they actually have wells that they put in villages where basically the water's just so disgusting in some villages that it creates so much sickness. But they people are sponsoring wells in these villages. And a lot of people in our church have sponsored wells in these villages. So we've partnered a lot with Pastor Prince over the years, praise God. And we really believe that God is on the move around the nations of the world, and we're so blessed with the different people that God brings to our church. And so when I heard Pastor Prince was in Australia, I definitely wanted to come and share a word today. And at the end of the service, we're going to open the altar and believing for miracles and healings and breakthrough today. Amen. So I really encourage you to get ready to come and get some prayer at the end of the service. Would you please stand to your feet and give a massive welcome to Prince Thomas.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you so much. May the Lord bless you. Please be seated. I'm so happy to be here. Praise God. This is my third visit to this church. I'm so happy to be here again. And I'm so thank you, Pastor Matt and family and all the leaders, all the brothers and sisters for helping and supporting us for all these years. And so I'll be sharing my testimony. I'm born and brought up in southern part of India, extremely a state called Kerala. Kerala is like the state where Apostle Thomas, the disciple of Jesus Christ, who came to India in AD 52. So I born and brought up there in Kerala, and born and brought up in a Christian family. After five girls, here come I. Then my mother took me in her arms, and he told God, "Lord, I am giving my son to you for your service." So my mother committed me on the day when I am born. So all that I heard from, like I was growing, like my mother told me, "I committed you for the Lord's service. You need to become a pastor, finish your high school, go to the Bible school and become a pastor." That's what all I heard from my mother. So when I become, like every day she will pray for me, she will raise me in such a way, in such a godly way, so that I can be a good man of God. Do you know, when I become I just finished my high school, my mother told me, "Bible school now." I told her, "No, Bible school, because I don't feel any God's call in my life. If you ask me, I will go Bible school, but I don't feel that God is calling me." Then my father came along, and he asked me, "Then what do you want to do?" I told him, "I want to study." So I went to the engineering college in Kerala. Then I did my textile engineering, and I was so happy that I'm studying. But my heart was like to support pastors, orphans, and widows, and that was all my heart. Then after that, I just worked in southern part of India. In 1995, I came to Delhi, North India, and I was working. But there was a question troubling me, my heart, hurting me all the time. What is the purpose of God about my life? That was a question always troubled me. Do you know, there is a purpose of, from Adam till today, maybe about 6,000 or 7,000 years. In this short period, I am here on this earth, maybe for 80 or 90 years. I am not going to be incarnated like the Hindus say. I am not going to come back after I die. In this short span of life, I am here on this earth. Is there any purpose of God about my life? When God raised Moses, God had a purpose. Joshua, David, Moses, Elijah, Ramya, and Paul, Peter, John, everyone had a purpose. And Jesus himself, he had a big purpose in his life. That was my question, is God has a purpose in my life? Do you know, with that question, I was just going around, and I used to attend church. I used to take part with all the activities in the church. It was in 1995, March 13. That was the day the Lord changed my life. I was in a church like this. I was standing in the extreme back seat. And as the people stood up for worship, I stood up and I asked the Lord, "Is there any purpose of God about my life?" Do you know, all of a sudden, the things changed. First time ever in my life, I felt the presence of God. I don't know what's happening in my life. I can just feel the presence of God in my hands and in my body. And the tears began to flow in my eyes. I don't know what's happening with me. All of a sudden, it was like there was a vision of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus, in that vision, standing in front of me, looking at my face, smiling at me, saying, "You are my chosen servant. Before you came to this earth, I have called you. I have called you to plant churches where there is no churches. I have called you to preach those who never heard about me. Will you give your eyes to me so that I can look through you? Will you give your ears to me so that I can speak to you? Will you give your hands so that I can heal, deliver, and bless people? Will you give your feet so that I can go to the nations, to the villages, to the places where I am not heard? Do you know, that night, I realized the purpose of God about my life. I said, God, Lord, until my last breath, I will serve you. After coming home, I phoned to my mother and told, Mom, I committed my life to God. I'm going to Bible school. I think she began to dance in that room. She was the happiest mom ever in this year. You know, I tell you, my fathers and mothers here, my parents here, if you are praying for your children, one day, if it is not today or tomorrow, but one day, God will bring them to his presence and God will make them great servants of God. And that week I went and resigned from my job and I went to the Bible school in Delhi. It was 3 years in the Bible school doing my bachelor's in theology. So God just molded me. He broke me and he molded me. And that was a wonderful time. And I was preparing for God's ministry. And after finishing 3 years, I asked God, now what to do and where to go? I don't want to go to like South India. It's like all Christians and churches, 100,000 people every Sunday or 60, 40,000 every Sunday. But I want to go to the northern part of India where no one heard about Christ. So I was asking God, Lord, where should I go? Do you know? When I was praying and fasting, like in television, I had seen a word, Barmana, B-A-R-M-A-N-A, Barmana. I never heard about Barmana in my life. So I went to my friends and asked them, hey, have you heard about Barmana? The Lord is trying to speak to me something, but I do not know what he's trying to speak. I went to my Greek and Hebrew professors and I asked them, sir, do you have a word Barmana in somewhere Greek and Hebrew dictionary? After checking, they said, no, there is no Barmana. And I was so frustrated. I was walking through the streets one day. Then here comes the Sikh turban man who drives a big truck. He stopped just in front of me to get some stuff from the shop. I went to him and I told him, hey, you drive this truck all around. Have you ever come across a place called Barmana or someone Barmana? After thinking a moment, he looked at me and he said, yes, I know that. And I told, what is that? He told, that's a village. It's about 13 hours from here. You need to go extremely northwest of India towards Haryana or Punjab. That was a place. I have traveled through that village. You need to get a bus from the station. It's 13 hours or 14 hours it will take. I was so happy, at least this place name, Barmana, so I can go. Do you know, the next day, I packed my things and I came to the bus station and I got this bus. Every night, like 9 o'clock, the bus leaves, only one bus. And all the night, I was dreaming Barmana. The next day, about 11 o'clock, the bus arrived in Barmana. And I was so happy to see the spelling, the style Barmana, it is written in the bus station. That was the same italic form of letter I have seen in my vision. I realized this is a place God sent me here. I was so happy. But the problem is there is no one to welcome me now. I don't know where to go. So I went to people and I asked them, have you heard about Jesus? They said, who is that? And one man told me, he don't live in our village. You need to go and ask that village people. He might be living there. And I was asking people, is there any church showing action? And he said, no, we don't talk. We don't know what you're talking. I realized these people never heard about Christ in their lives. From 11 o'clock to 6 o'clock, I was just wandering there and here. And about 6 o'clock, I came back to the bus station. And I was sitting there in the bus station. No, where to go? With that all enthusiasm, I came here. About 6 o'clock, an elderly woman came to me and looked at my face and she asked, son, why do you sit here? The last bus has gone. Then I shared my story of how Jesus brought me here to pray for these people. After hearing my story, this woman, her name is Kamala, she told me, will you come to my house? So without saying anything, I took two of my bags and I went along with her. She took me to the top of the mountains and one room in the top and one room in the below floor. She took me to the upper floor and there was a picture of an young man in the wall and she told me, this was my son. 2 years before he was killed, I had only one son. But when I saw you in the bus stand, I had seen my son in you. Because your face, your figure, everything looks like my son. She continued, Kamala continued saying, if you sleep in this bed, if you live in this room, I will cook for you, I will look after you, but on condition, call me mother. My brothers and sisters, that night, Kamala became my mother and I became her son. I got a mother, I got a house, I was so happy and excited. Do you know, as preachers, we make several sermons, but I made my first practical sermon wherever God sent us. Before we reach there, God has every provision for us. Before, hallelujah, you go to Japan, Solomon Islands, all other countries, God is just sending us. God has everything provided there. Hallelujah. For the last 23 years, I walk with this faith. For this last 23 years, I know it's not everything, after seeing everything prepared, I go. No, I don't see anything in the way. But I take my steps and go. I know he's there in the way. I know he'll be always there in the way. And what happened to us? The next day onwards, I will go to every homes and I will share Jesus Christ. And I will knock the doors, coming from Bible school full of enthusiasm, mission, and telling people about Christ. And I am so interested to go and share gospel with these people. For 5 days, I was happy, no problem. I never know that kind of militant, kind of fanatic Hindus who will hallelujah, beat me up. I never have any idea because I am extremely from South India. And I think I missed the Bible. I missed the class when they taught about persecution in the Bible school. I don't know. You know what was that happened when I was just now coming on the seventh day, coming from a village to the Kamala's house. About 20 people caught me. And they began to argue with me. Hey, what are you doing here? We were searching you. Somebody distributing all this Jesus tract. He is a foreign God. Why do you, don't you have shame to say, tell about this God? Who gave you permission to come our village? They began to beat me up. They began to slap me. And they pulled me there in the street. And they broke my arms. And the bones were broken. And they kicked me with all the 20 people. Do you know, I was there. My body, I know that I can see my broken arms. I can see blood all over my body, pain. I was laying there, and they're just kicking me. And they were shouting that within 24 hours, leave this place, otherwise we'll kill you. And that people left. That was the first time in my life. I never expected something in my life. I was just laying there in that street. I thought I am dying, but two things happened to me. The presence of God just flowed in my life. I don't feel any pain, any kind of worries. I don't know what's happening. The peace of God was filled in my heart. The second thing was a divine courage. I think Pastor Matt told about a divine courage came upon me. Hey, you want to beat me? Come on, beat me. But I'm not going to leave this place, right? That's it. I'm here, and no, you cannot oppose me. You cannot stop me. I'm here. Whatever you want to do it. That's it. Do or die. I became a radical kind of a faith, radical kind of a mission in my life. That's it. And my mother Kamala came, and they put me in the hospital. They put a big steel rod in my hand. It took almost 3 months. But praise God, within those 3 months, Kamala, my mother, accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. So I am baptizing Kamala in June 1998. So she is all my mother, but my first spiritual child. Praise God. So I'm so happy that Lord helped me to baptize her in the water there. So what happened to us? And from there, hallelujah, I and Kamala, we will go to every houses. To whomsoever we pray, the Lord will heal. And there was a boy, both kidneys were failed. Hallelujah, son of a Hindu priest and dying. So I and Kamala, we went and prayed, and God healed that boy. We went, prayed for someone, the demons manifested and just delivered. And God began to do things after one by one. And I realized a great call in my life. And then after planting the church, raising the leader, within 2 years, I moved to another village. And I planted the church, raised the leader. In every church, we have 5 leaders, Paul, Timothy, Andrew, Esther, Daniel. So I will raise 5 leaders. I will raise Paul. I myself is a Paul. I will raise a Timothy. Hallelujah. I will take him and I will hand over the church to him. I will have a Esther who will take ladies to different places and start ministry, outreaches, hallelujah, praying in different places. And Andrew will be looking after the youth and children. Daniel is a prayer coordinator. So God began to give me strategies, and I began to ask God, and God began to take me to this land. Haryana, about 28 million people. I think it's around the size of Australia. So 28 million people in that particular state. Do you know, Christians, 0.09. And not even 1% Christians, 7,000 villages. Out of it, 7,000 villages, 5,000 villages even today do not have any Christian. 5,000 villages. So that became my heart, planting 5,000 churches in Haryana, North India. And from the day, I began to pray God. I began to kneel down in the presence of God. All the day, that's what all my work in the initial stage. I was kneeling down and crying in the presence of God. Give me 5,000 village churches. And God said, I will do. You will plant churches. You will multiply churches. You will be discipling. You will disciple making church. Something like that. So we started a vision, seeing 5,000. It is not easy. One of the toughest fields in India. One of the challenging fields in India. So we started ministry in Haryana. And yes, just keep on. Slowing some slides. I have a word I want to preach before that. So 5,000 village churches are our needs, so that we are praying. Already God blessed us with about 320 churches now. Yeah, keep on. So now we will just keeping on going. So our target became every village should have a church, and that church should be reproducing, multiplying, disciple-making churches. That's kind of a rabbit model churches. Yes. I will not share. I'll not explain. N division, that's our 7E strategy we are working with. N division, 5,000 churches. Entry strategy, go to this village, do prayer walking, bind the demons, release the people, open the eyes, open the hearts of the people, and look for the man of peace, train the people. Evangelism, we have 100 ways of evangelism. Effective discipleship, establish churches, equip leaders, evaluation, accountability. So we started with nothing, and God blessed us seeing all these churches. You can just see that, yeah. This all our groups. We started from nothing. It was zero, no Christians. It's all Hindus. And God blessed us with all these people. Can you just go now? Can you just go one by one? These are all churches. And the number just keep on increasing. It's like 30, 40, 50, 60, it's 100. When it's like 100, we divide them into two. We don't have any buildings. We all in someone's house in the villages under a tree. And it keeps on missionary. We'll plant 10 village churches in 5 years of time. Go to this village, start the church, raise the leader and go. So this is like training these local people. Do you know, all these people pay a big price for their faith. Some of them lost their job. Some of them lost their family inheritance. Yes. And God is in move. And more people are coming and the churches are growing. Yes, my brother. Just keep on. Punjab, God is doing an amazing work in Punjab now. It's an open door. It's a new believers training there. Whenever the new believers, we train them how to share their 3-minute story, who you were before Christ, how you find Jesus, what are the changes took place in your life. So this new believer, whenever they go out, they share their story. No preaching, no religion, no nothing. Just share your story, what Jesus had done to your life, and invite the people. So they share their story. Every Sunday they will invite people. They will bring people to our church. This is a Bible school we have. We are accredited with Asia Theological Association. And we have about 22 students now doing bachelors of theology, training the next leadership. We have 100 ways of evangelism, film shows. Yes. Going to these villages, sharing the trees and plants and sharing Jesus. Prayer drive and prayer walking through the villages. And by distributing the tricycles and sharing Jesus Christ. And this is one of the I have 100 ways of evangelism, but it is the most effective way of evangelism is borewells. You know, in North India, in our places, there is no sewerage. The bathroom water just goes down. People may have a 40-foot hand pump. The water is very much polluted, and the people get sick, and they get scratching and things like that. So the government is government doesn't do anything. No schools, no wells, no hospitals in the villages. So what we do, we go to this village and we speak with the next photo, please. This is the situation, the bathroom, the latrine pictures just all over the village. And and people just know walking 2 or 3 kilometers to get the drinking water. So when we went to this village and we started a borewell, we have 3 water levels, 100 feet we have water but polluted. 270 we have water, but that's not sufficient for all these village people. But 400 feet we have the best purified water coming from the mountains. The water is very good in 400 feet. So we dig a big 400 feet borewell and we tell people we make this borewell because Jesus loves us and we want to show that Jesus loved. So we are making borewells. So thank God for this church. This church has been a great blessing. Some of the families like Ayanti Richards and Sean Murray and some of these dear ones sponsored borewells in these villages. So interesting thing is, wherever we started the borewells, in all the places now we have churches. In all the places, church is growing in. Wherever we put the... Next one. So wherever we put the borewell, in all that places we have churches. And the persecution came down. People became so happy with Christian missionaries. So this is a schools project we do. We got these children never have any school opportunity. So we start schools in the villages. Yeah, keep slums outreaches. These are very precious people in all these slums. So we go and we share Jesus with them. We provide meals and we educate them. Yes. This is a child development centers. Do you know, we rent a facility. We put some teachers and we get them teachers. Most of the schools have like 40 to 50 children. They come every day, 4 to 5 hours. We educate them. We share them Bible. We teach them everything. Yeah. And the life changed. We provide them school uniforms. They never thought that they can go to school one day. When we go to these parents, they will cry. And they will say, we never thought that we can have our children educated. Yes. So that's the biggest project we do. This is our mission center. When you come to India, you can stay here. So I was asking Pastor Matt. I think he's coming now. Thank you, Lord. Pastor Matt. So welcome, Pastor. We need you. We need you. This dynamic preacher. Yes. Yes. So this is a land actually we are planning to buy for the orphanage. We have about 500 orphans. So we want just get some shelter for them. This will be in a buffalo farm, chicken farm, cultivation, so that income generation, we can help the orphanage. Yes. Bible distribution, Hindi, Punjabi, and all these Bibles. Yes. Keep on next. Yes. Boots for the missionaries. That's microloans. Gospel has changed these people, but their lives are not changed. They're still in poverty. So we will buy a buffalo and give to this family. She will earn money. She will give back some of the money and also tithe to the church. And after, when we get that money, we will buy another buffalo. We will buy the tuk-tuk car and we will give the motor bikes to the missionaries. We do a lot of things there. And yes, this is tailoring, stitching centers. Most of the men are like drug addicts. The women don't have food. So we go and start a tailoring center and help this woman to stitch woman clothes so that after 9 months of training, we give them a machine and we send them back to their home. Yes. This is a tribe called Dosalis, the most unreached. Like Joshua Project mentioned Dosalis. They're like gypsies. So we are the first ones who preach gospel. Now we have many village churches among these people. They live with animals and they just keep on changing. Yes. Very wonderful, precious, wonderful people they are. Now the entire villages came to the Lord. They spread in hurry. This is conventions. Mainly we do in Punjab, healing meetings and crusades. And we had seen the eyes, the blind see, the lame walk. We had seen tremendous healings and miracles in these meetings. This is Christmas outreaches we do. Yes. Last year we have about 7,000 people in that cricket stadium. Mostly all the Hindus and Muslims. Yes. This is the executive board. We have 15 leaders who run the ministry, like somebody's church planting, outreach, mission, discipleship, microloans. And we have a teamwork. Somebody's in charge of, somebody's accounted. Under this leadership, we have coordinators. Under coordinators, we have grassroots church planters and pastors. Yes. So that's some of the pictures and some of the things. Yes, next. So that's a partnership. Thank you. The New Hope Church has been a great blessing. You have some churches in North India now. Thank you, Sean, and thank you, Ayanti, and thank you for supporting Borwell's Child Development Centers and Church Planters, and thank you so much. Yep. Next one. That's my family here. Ben is traveling today to Ukraine, and Hannah is my daughter. Gigi, my wife. Christ Mission India, cmindia.org. That's my website. If you'd like to get a monthly newsletter of what God is doing, you can provide that. And so thank Lord. This is some of the things I really want to share with you. And I have a word for you today for this church. And I prayed and the Lord spoke to me a word. And that word is, the next slide, Hosea chapter 6 verse 2. Hosea chapter 6 verse 2. This is a word when I prayed for this church. You know, wherever I go, I speak what the Lord speak to me. I really want to get something this Holy Spirit speak to me. So this is a word the Lord just turned my attention. Hosea chapter 6 verse 2. It is written, after 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will rise us up that we may live before him. After 2 days. The same way that I was reading this word, God asked me to go Hosea 6:2. I got this word. I did not understand. Then God says, after 2 days. I was asking God, what after 2 days? What is that after 2 days? When I get a word, I will read that word maybe 25 to 50 times. Only particular that word. I will just stay in that word. Keep on reading and meditating. And I was asking the Lord, what is that after 2 days? After 2 days. But what happened in that 2 days? And the third day, God will revive us. So this is the message the Lord spoke to me. Okay, now, in the message, every one of our life is divided. I can divide them into three. First day, second day, and the third day. All of our lives, every one of our lives here, we can divide our lives into three portions. First day, second day, and third day. Moses, he lived in this earth for 120 years. I can divide his life into three. The first day, second day, and third day. First day, 40 years. Second day, 40 years. Third day, 40 years. The first day, he said, I am something. Because he lives in a palace. He is like a prince. He lives like a king. He is going to be the next pharaoh. And he say, I am something. If I call someone, they come. I have authority. I have position. I have power. I have fame. I am something. And the second day, Moses' life was turned around. It's a precious imagination. I can see Moses is running after to save his life because the king Pharaoh is looking to kill him. In that running, maybe after two or three days, Moses looking to God and say, I am nothing. The next 40 years, I am nothing. Do you know, if you are something, God cannot use you. God is waiting for our lives, for us to come to a place where we say, we are nothing. Come and mold our life. Come and do something in our life. And God is still waiting. We need to come down to that position. We need to, realize and tell God, it is not my energy. It is not my education. It is not my position and power. I have nothing in me but you, Lord. The third time, the third, fourth, the 40 year, the leader, the biggest leader in the history of Israel, Moses. The same way, my brothers and sisters, we have three days. The first day is very good. It's exciting. All the people are praising us. People are standing with us. The first day, we don't have much problem. Joseph had a first day experience. What was his first day? Father make a good cloth for him. And he can see visions and dreams. He's better than his brothers. He say, I am good. And David has a first day. First day, what happened? David can kill a lion. Even David can go and kill Goliath. And people sang song. David can kill 10,000. The first day is so exciting. The first day is so happy. The first day, all people stand with you. The first day, you are so good. Job, he had a first day. All the children are around him. He has animals in hundreds and thousands. His wife is good. He loves God. The first day is very good, my brothers. Even for Jesus, it is a first day. It was excellent. He got to these villages, the blind see, the lame walk, the dead rise, and people looked at him and say, truly he is the Messiah. Truly he is God. The first day is excellent, exciting, so happy. And people prepare way for him, and the people sing songs, Hosanna! Hosanna! And everyone praises him. Hey, my brothers and sisters, hallelujah, we have a first day where we feel that we are someone and something. But let me tell you, there is a second day. There is a second day. What is the second day, Joseph? In the second day, you are alone. It is so painful to go through second day. In the second day, people stood with you. They are no more. The second day, people loved you. They will walk away from you. They will hate you. You will see hell in your life. You will ask God, where are you, God? He was there in Potiphar's house. He was there in that jail. He did not understand what's happening in his life. What happened to David? People sang song against him. People loved him. Even the king's family respected him. Now in the second day, he is running away from the kingdom. The king is trying to kill him. Where are the people who stood with him? Now nobody is with him. Now no food for him. Now no weapons for him. He's going to the high priest and saying, do you have any food? Do you have any weapon for me? David was a king and he has nothing now. Do you know? Second day is so cruel, my brothers and sisters. Second day is so bad. A job. Job for second day is so painful. He lost his children. He lost his wealth. In front of his own wife, he became a questioner. And Jesus, on the second day, was so painful for him. The people who sang Hosanna, the people who sang songs, and that people shouted at him, crucify him, crucify him. He knew on the cross, he need to go through much pain. He's looking at the disciples and, will you come and sit near me sometime? Will you come and sit with me and pray with me? But the disciples could not do. You are alone in the second day. You are so pained, broken. Unexpected happened. The second day is very cruel. Very bad. But I have a good news for the church today. We have a third day. Hallelujah. We have a third day. What is our third day? On the third day, he will rise us up. On the third day, he will rise us up. All the Satan, all the demons, all the devil thought that Jesus will be there in the tomb. His story is over. He is no more. But on the third day, the power of the Holy Spirit came and resurrected him from the dead. Hey, what happened to Joseph? Joseph was there in the jail. But on the third day, God raised him up as a prime minister of the nation. God raised him up. For Job, God blessed him. God doubled him everything. God blessed him with whatever. God doubled him with whatever he lost. And for David, what happened was, David came back and became the great king, not only in Israel, but Judah. All the country honored him. David became the king. On the third day, God raised him. My brothers and sisters, this is a prophetical message I'm telling you today. The devil has tried to kill you, it will steal you, it will destroy you, and put you all through the second day. But my God tells you this word, I can rise you up, I can make you a history maker, I can make you something. Hallelujah, who can write history? Now Moses' life is a history. Now Joseph's life is a history. Now Job, we are preaching about him. Now David, we are preaching about him. Jesus, the biggest history writer, history maker. And you and me, we are not the ordinaries. When God stand with us, we become the extraordinaries. And God here are looking for someone who are not ordinary, who say, I want to be an extraordinary. I want to stand with God and make right the history. I want right history. Psalms 23, one of my favorite Psalms. Listen to me this one. I don't know if you get it. Listen to me this one. Psalms 23. The righteous man sit, lay down when God is nearby. But when he walks through the darkest time in his life, but when he walks through the tough time in his life, Psalms 23, he walks. He was laying, he was sitting, he was okay. But when he walks through the toughest time in his life, he is walking. What that mean? The Holy Spirit told me, the darkest time will not remain as it is. In the darkest time, you are walking in the darkest time, coming towards your third day. Coming towards your third day. You are not going to stay there much longer. That's over. Hallelujah. That's over. Hallelujah. I have a prophetical message. This is a prophetical message. I don't know the background of this church, but the Lord told me last night. The Lord told me clearly last night. This is your third day. God is going to rise you. God is going to rise you. God is going to fill these empty chairs. This curtain will be moved. People will be filled. International is going to be. People from nations will come here. You will send the missionaries to the nation and you will go. And this church, for this church, this message is, I am going to rise you up on this third day. I'm going to rise. Your third day is going to come up. Hey, brothers and sisters, this is your going to be the third day. Would you like to give your life to Jesus? Would you like to make this prayer? God, you spoke to my heart. I'm going to give my heart to you. I'm going to give my life to you. I want to be an extraordinary. Can we all stand up in the presence of God? We are going to pray. Praise the Lord. I know the Holy Spirit is speaking to you today. Hallelujah. God has a purpose for you. God has a plan for you. God has a mission for you. God has a mission for you. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. He's asking you, will you give your eyes to me so that I can look through you? Will you give your ears to me so that I can speak to you? Will you give your hands to me so that I can heal, I can deliver, I can bless people? Oh, hallelujah. Will you give your feet to me? Oh, so that I can go to the nations, I can go to the villages. Oh, will you give your life to me? Hallelujah. Will you carry my presence? Hallelujah. How many of us will say to God, God, I'm giving my life. Take me in your hand and use me, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Just going to ask Pastor Prince to stay up here with me for a moment. We're going to open the altar for prayer in just a moment, but let me just do a couple of quick things. Firstly, I want to give you an opportunity to give your life to Jesus today. If you haven't ever received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I believe that there's an anointing here today for people to be saved, healed, and delivered. Amen? We believe that when God comes in and touches someone's life, they get completely set free. And I really believe that as we pray for people today, we're going to see a breakthrough in people's lives. Amen? Amen. Let's just bow our heads and let's keep praying. Father God, I just pray that you'll continue to pour out your Spirit in this service. And Lord, I pray if there's anyone here today that needs to give their life to you, I pray, Lord Jesus, that there'll be souls saved in this place today. Lord, your word says, if one sinner repents, the angels in heaven rejoice. This is a big deal for people to come to know you, Lord God. And I believe that today, if there's anyone here that needs to get their life right with you, Lord, just touch their heart. Just speak to their hearts, Lord God. Now, if you're here today and you've never given your heart to Jesus, and you want to say yes, you want to receive him as your Lord and Savior, in a moment, I'm going to pray a prayer where you can receive him into your life, and you can have your sins forgiven. You can be born again. Just with every eye closed and every head bowed, if you want to give your life to Jesus today, I just want you to lift your hand up real high and say, yes, I want to give my life to Jesus. I see that up the back there. That's great. Is there anybody else that says, yes, I want to give my life to Jesus today? Just put your hand up high. We can pray with you today. Maybe you're watching this online. Maybe you're listening to my voice, and if you want to give your life to Jesus, we're going to pray a prayer right now. Is there anybody else to slip your hand up high so I can see it? Okay, let's all pray this prayer together. Dear God in heaven, I thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me. Please forgive me my sins and make me born again. I turn from my sinful ways and I surrender my life to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I believe if you prayed that prayer, you've had your sins forgiven today. You've started a relationship with Jesus. We're going to open the altar in just a moment and invite you to come and receive some prayer. But before that, we're going to collect a love offering to bless God.